Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Colleges are interesting places. There's always an energy to them. Even the smallest colleges usually have some sort of feeling emanating from throughout the halls that are contained on that campus. When you're on a large historic campus that dates back to the 1800s, you can't help but feel the history in some of the older buildings as you drive along those streets. One of the more spooky places, I would say, for many, and confined, would be a dorm hall. One of those older ones where basically people are living in closets 2 by 2, and there's not a lot of room for anything else. And basically you're sardines in a building. Older buildings, not great heat, sounds, creaking, all those things can make the environment very spooky. But what about when you just feel something? You feel an energy that should not be there. An energy that at times seems to come and go with one of your roommates. Maybe even transferring to another person. And ultimately being the source of their demise. Even when a friend comes in to help, suddenly their personality dramatically changes to someone that you've never known before. And they attempt to assault you. That's scary stuff. But that is what happened to one young woman her freshman year of college in her dorm. This is EPP bonus episode number 432 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Bruschi. Here's our first story. Hi, Tony and crew, it's me again. I'm excited to share another story with all of you. One of my stories do come from expeditions where I actually sought out the paranormal, but not all of my experiences were invited. I live in Northwest Arkansas, and I originally moved here 5 years ago from Eastern Arkansas to pursue higher education at the university. I've loved my time in college throughout undergrad and grad school, but I've had many, many experiences since moving from school. There's no doubt in my mind that this area of Northwest Arkansas is one of the most haunted regions of the state. And there's no doubt in my mind that the University of Arkansas campus is haunted. Some of the buildings on campus are over 150 years old, as they were built when the university was founded back in the 1860s. It would make sense that the older buildings have so much energy from the thousands of people that have been in and out of their doors. But what you might not guess is that even some of the newer buildings have energy. As a freshman in 2017, 2018, I lived in a dorm on campus. The dorm I lived in is one of the oldest, but it isn't as old as some of the buildings on campus. For anyone familiar with the U of A campus and or dorms, I lived in one of the older, and I'm going to omit the name of it. This dorm was constructed in the 1950s, so old to me, but not old compared to other structures on the campus. I did have a roommate who lived in the same unit as me, We didn't have one of those fancy dorms that had separate bedrooms and a living space. It was just us cramped into this small room with two twin-sized beds, a desk, an office chair, each, and a wardrobe for each of us. We shared a set of chest drawers, too. It was a small room to fit all of the furniture in, as we just were having space to move around. The dorm was 11 feet by 13 feet. It was tiny, but we were lucky. We got along well at first. We moved in for our fall semester in August of 2017, and it was pretty chill at first. We actually rushed the same professional sorority and hung out with the same group of people. She and I were in similar majors and the same academic department, so we spent a lot of time together in the dorm and out of the dorm. For the sake of clarity, I'll call my roommate Rachel. That's not her real name, but I wanted to conceal her identity since she doesn't know I'm writing in about this experience. Rachel and I were both young and had moved away from home for the first time. We both met guys our freshman year and began dating our then boyfriends within a few months of moving into the dorm together. I've written in several stories that myself and my boyfriend at this point in my life have shared. I'll use the name Tim for him since we're no longer together. I'd already known Tim before I went to college, but we didn't become romantically involved until October of 2017. Rachel and her boyfriend, now her husband, started dating a few weeks before Tim and I. We'll call Rachel's boyfriend Ian. Now that you have the lay of the land and the people mostly affected by a spirit that made my life a living hell during my freshman year, I can get into the biggest experiences from this entity. I'll warn some audiences that there might be triggers in this story, and topics such as suicide and sexual assault are covered, so please proceed with caution. Rachel and I lived on the second floor of this four-story dorm, and there were rumors about our floor being haunted. I had some paranormal experiences prior to college, but I never really acknowledged them or talked about them. So when some upperclassmen in our classes told us about their own experiences about living in the dorm, I followed my roommate's lead and scoffed. I was wrong for doing that, especially after all that I saw and felt. Shortly after, I came back to Fayetteville after a trip from going home in mid-October. I noticed the first signs of activity. I was more of a night person than Rachel. I'd often stay up late doing homework, studying for upcoming tests. She often went to sleep and woke up earlier in the morning before me to do her homework and studying. The night I came back was a Sunday night, and she had gone to church for the evening. It was about 15 minutes after she left, and I was sitting in my bed propped up against the wall that was behind the head of my bed. I was on my laptop working on a paper. I noticed movement out of my peripheral vision. I looked up. I noticed the left door of Rachel's wardrobe slowly open. Remember, we had lived here for 2 months already, and this was the first time I ever saw this. I got up and closed the door back. I went back to my work, and then I saw the drawer of our Chester drawers open. Again, something that's never happened. I decided to ignore it this time, thinking maybe the floor wasn't completely level and gravity was making these doors and drawers open. I couldn't rationalize why it would take 2 whole months to start doing that. After another 10 to 15 minutes, I was still ignoring the open drawer. I guess that pissed it off. The drawer slammed shut. It was a loud bang, and I screamed a little bit at the noise. Our next neighbors came to check on me because they heard my scream through the wall we shared. The walls were really thin and shitty, so you could hear just about everything. These two girls were also rushing the same sorority as me and my roommate, so I knew them very well. I couldn't tell them what I'd seen, so I just lied and said I'd been watching a horror movie on my laptop. I had not been through. They laughed at me, of course, not knowing the true reason for my fear, and left to go back to their own room. I decided to put my headphones in and listen to music to drown out any noise that might startle me again. And I turned my attention back to my homework. Nothing else happened while I was there by myself, and my roommate got home by 9 p.m. or so. I still had a lot of studying to do, and she decided to go to bed early. Usually when she went to sleep, we would turn out the overhead light, and I would keep my lamp on so I could see and read and write. She rolled over and faced the wall to face away from the light and covered her head completely, which is something she did every night. After about an hour, I got sleepy myself and decided to lay down too. I turned off my lamp, set my phone alarm for the next morning for class. It was about midnight when I woke to Rachel's screaming. She was screeching at the top of her lungs. I sat straight up in bed and fumbled for my phone to turn on the flashlight so I could see to reach for the lamp. She was clutching her sheets to her chest and completely horrified. I looked on the ground where my comforter lay next to my bed. Now, I know our room is small, but our beds were in opposite corners, and they were both lofted. I'm only 5'1", so I had to use a stool to get into my bed, since it was 4 feet off the ground. There was no way I could reach her bed from my bed. They were about 8 feet apart at the closest point. She looked at me, and she realized I'd been asleep before she screamed. Something had jerked her comforter off her bed. We were both asleep. I got down out of bed, grabbed the comforter to take it back to her, and out of the corner of the room, we heard a deep growl. It was closer to the foot of her bed than it was mine, and I stopped dead in my tracks. We both checked that area of the bottom of the room, which had the TV on a shelf, a mini fridge, and a shared microwave. We couldn't find any animal or anything that would make that noise. I shook my head and told her we're probably hearing something in the next room, like furniture being moved or something. Something logical, that the comforter probably had just slipped off her bed when she turned over. I had not told her about the wardrobe door or the drawer opening and slamming shut. She calmed down and eventually fell back asleep. I did the same. It went a few weeks without incident, and I didn't talk about it anymore after that night until we had another scary night. Rachel was in the shower down the hallway. Since we had communal bathrooms that were shared with the whole floor, I was in my room facing and FaceTiming with my then boyfriend. Since we were in a long-distance relationship, Rachel also usually called her boyfriend since they were also in a long-distance relationship. He went to a private Christian college 3 hours away on the other side of the state. I was about to wrap up my call with Tim and decided to watch some TV before going to bed a little early. I was watching whatever was on cable that night and scrolling on social media on my phone when the blinds on the one window in the room started moving on their own. The air conditioning in our room genuinely sucked and had very little power. It never really moved anything in the room, especially not the blinds. They were further away from the air vent. I decided to ignore it, chalking it up to the drafty old building. I guess that again pissed off the entity. The TV fell off the ledge it was sitting on. It was at least 6 inches from the edge of the ledge where it was sitting. The force was so much that the cord got yanked out of its socket. The TV landed on the floor by Rachel's bed and was cracked and destroyed. Rachel walked in her bathroom robe to change into bedclothes, and she gasped when she opened the door. I was sitting in bed and tried to calm her down. She asked me what happened. I told her that the blinds were moving and the TV fell on its own. She was really freaked out, but she said she believed me. She told me that a week prior, when I was at class, she had come back to take a nap. She'd laid down in bed and had almost drifted off when the entire bed started to shake. She said she heard growling from under the bed and screamed. One of our neighbors walked in and the bed immediately stopped. Also said that she'd noticed the blinds moving while I was out some. Went over, picked up the TV, and the entire screen fell out onto the floor when I did. I grabbed the dustpan and cleaned up the mess and threw it out. Rachel and I agreed not to tell anyone about any of the past experiences or any future experiences. We were both afraid of being called crazy or being made fun of. Things like this kept happening for the next 2 months until Thanksgiving. We'd have desk drawers opening and closing, wardrobe doors opening and closing, and the blinds would move often. As time went on, the weather outside got colder, and we'd often have to bundle up at night to stay warm, since the heating in our building completely sucked. One night in the middle of the week, I woke up around 3 a.m. to a freezing cold room. I could literally see my breath. I was so cold. Even under a comforter and several blankets, I had chills. I rolled over to see that the window was wide open and the blinds were up. I turned on my lamp and woke Rachel up to ask her if she knew why the window was open. We obviously kept it closed at this time of year because it was freezing outside. We also usually kept the blinds down and closed at night so that people couldn't see into our room. We were right across the street from a parking garage and we didn't want someone seeing in while we changed clothes or something. We were completely floored. I went over and shut the window, locking it, and went to get dressed in warmer clothes to hopefully warm up faster. Rachel let the blinds down and closed them, and we both got back in bed to try to warm up. Soon, the room got warmer, and we did fall back asleep. Thanksgiving was a few weeks after that, and we went home for the week to see our families. Nothing happened to either of us while we were at home. But when we came back to campus, that was a different story. I was the first one back that Sunday night before classes started back on Monday. I had my luggage with me and unlocked my door to go in and start unpacking. At this point, it was probably 6 or 7 in the evening. When I opened my door, I was completely shocked. The place was an absolute mess. There were papers everywhere, clothes strewn about the place. Our beds were completely messed up with pillows thrown everywhere. The wardrobes were open and clothes were stripped from the hangers and thrown into the floor. Our clothes drawers were open with all kinds of clothes messed up and thrown about. My lamp lay on the floor across the room from where it normally sat. Our mini fridges were open and drinks were randomly placed around the room. Food was in our beds, in their containers, and on our desks. I had a bulletin board that hung over the head of my bed. It had pictures of my friends and family on it. They were all ripped in half. The part of the photo that had me in it was still hanging on the board. And the other half that had my friends or family in it were in my trash can. Rachel had a framed photo of her and Ian on her desk, and it was a face down on the desk. I picked it up and the frame was cracked. The glass itself was shattered. She also had several posters of different bands on her wall. Each poster had what looked like a claw mark through it. I immediately screamed and started crying in the hallway. My RA came running down the hall and asked me what was wrong. I just pointed into my room and she gasped. She asked me what happened. I told her I just got back. We called Rachel to see if she had gotten back yet, but she was still about 30 minutes from campus on her way back. My RA explained what we saw and told her and not to go into our room. She invited me to her room, which was on the same floor. I sat in there while she called the housing authorities and the campus police. The director of our building came to meet us to look at the damage along with 2 campus police officers. We went back up to the room and I gave the director my key to unlock the door. When he opened the door, it looked exactly as it had before. After they saw the mess, we closed the door again and locked it. Campus police asked the director if they could look at the footage from the dorm security cameras. The director took them to the security room in the basement of our building, while my RA and I waited outside of the room. One officer decided to run through the entire week of footage to see if anyone had come and gone. Our dorms are locked during the week of Thanksgiving, forcing all students and RAs to leave. It closed on Sunday before Thanksgiving and didn't open till the Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. There were cameras in each stairwell and at the front desk monitoring the front door. There were also cameras at each of the hallways to monitor people who went on each floor from the stairs. The other officer went back up to my room to double check and make sure no one was actually in the room. I was genuinely terrified, and Rachel got back while the campus police officers were still reviewing security footage and doing the room check. Rachel brought her stuff in, came over to me to get the full story. I told her everything I had seen and all that had happened since I came back. She was shocked and assured me that she hadn't come back at all during the week. And how could she? The building was locked up and off limits to students or RAs during the break. After about an hour, we had both calmed down and the police officers came back to tell us what they'd found. The one police officer didn't find anyone in our room. The other one said that the last person to leave the building before the break was a male RA from the first floor. He never went on our floor, and he left the building. The next time a person showed up on the footage was that Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. The same day we got back, the building director showed up on the front door camera, unlocking the dorm at 8 a.m. that morning, and he opened the back door access as well. Then he spent the rest of the morning at the front desk until the RA started showing up to take over the building responsibilities. The hallway cameras showed people arriving all day, but no one went into our room until I opened the door that afternoon. There was no explanation for how someone could destroy our room. They couldn't have come in through the window since we weren't on the ground floor. They would have to have scaled the side of the building, which was a flat brick wall. There wasn't a tree close to our window that they could have climbed. It was truly scary. Shortly after that event, Rachel and I started disagreeing a lot more and fighting. Her relationship with her boyfriend started having some problems as well. The 3 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas were chaotic. She and I fought almost every day, and I started staying out later to avoid her. She started staying at the dorm a lot more than usual, started skipping classes and isolating herself away from our friends and her own friends. About a week before we went home for Christmas break, it was tense. Rachel and Ian had a huge fight over the phone that night before. I'd come into the room in the middle of their fight and quickly grabbed my headphones and went to my desk to study for finals since it was the next week. I turned up my music to drown out her screaming and turned on my laptop. About 30 minutes later, I needed to use the restroom, so I got up from my desk to go. When I turned the music off and turned around to leave, Rachel was curled up in her bed crying softly. Even though we had been fighting quite a lot since Thanksgiving, I felt really bad for her. I asked her if she was okay. She told me that her boyfriend had hung up on her. She tried calling him back, but she couldn't get him to call her back. I talked to her about the fight, and she told me that they were fighting about the distance. He wanted her to transfer to his college to be with him, but she wouldn't do it because his college didn't have her major. She wanted him to transfer to our college to be with her, but he didn't want to lose all of his scholarship money. He said he felt like she was changing. Wasn't the same person that she was when they started dating. He said that she was becoming angrier and harder to talk to about things. She cried for a long time that night, and she eventually fell asleep in her bed. The next day, her boyfriend called my phone in a panic. It woke me up, and I answered the phone. He told me that he had gotten a call from his sister-in-law and that he had to hang up on Rachel because there was a huge family emergency that he had to go take care of. He begged me to get her on the phone. Apparently, he had been calling her all night. Her phone had died when she'd fallen asleep, and she hadn't been able to charge it. I hurried over to her, woke her up, telling her what Ian had said. She took my phone and talked to him for a long time. While I went downstairs to give them privacy, she came and got me and was an emotional wreck. She told me that Ian's brother had committed suicide the night before, which is why he had to hang up so abruptly and couldn't take her calls. She said she had to pack and leave to go be with him for a while until they could figure things out. She left later that afternoon and didn't come back for finals. She took all of her finals remotely and stayed with him until his brother's funeral. While she was with Ian, none of the activity happened. It was quiet while she was gone. Rachel came back after Christmas break, and I did too. She told me that Ian confessed that he had thought it was a dark energy that caused his brother to kill himself. She believed him. She knew about our experiences in the dorm. She felt that the same entity that was attacking her and I was also reaching out to people she loved and cared for and affecting them. I wasn't totally unconvinced, but it wasn't until the entity started affecting others in my life that I believed truly. There was a guy on the fourth floor of our dorm that I had befriended the fall semester before, and he was a really nice guy to me. I never looked at him as anything more than friends, and I didn't think he felt anything like that for me. I was still dating Tim, so I'd give him my heart at that point. This friend of mine, we'll call him Vance, he was very outgoing and had a flirtatious personality. He didn't always mean it, or at least I didn't think he did. I was sorely mistaken. I was completely caught off guard one night after something dark happened. I'm a firm believer that people can be influenced by evil powers and energy if they're susceptible to it. We're getting ready for midterms for the spring semester. It's a couple of weeks before, but we were studying early to make sure we were prepared. Vance had a paper that he had been working on that was due the next week. So he asked me if I could help him out since I was good at writing. I'd like to give a trigger warning at this point in the story. The next part does involve physical assault and could be traumatic for some listeners. He brought his laptop down to my room to show me the paper and to get my opinion on it and to see if I had any edits for him. My roommate had gone to a friend's party for the night, so I knew she wouldn't be back till later. Every time Vance came over, I made sure to leave the door open to keep the room visible from the hallway that usually always had foot traffic, whether it be other girls on the floor going to the bathroom or friends or fellow doormates coming to visit, etc. Vance sat at my desk while I sat on the end of the bed, looking over his shoulder, reading the paper on his laptop as he scrolled. I made a few edits here and there and asked him questions about why he wrote something the way he did and so on. It was December, so the housing staff had changed the building over to heat. My roommate and I were both very hot-natured, so we kept the heat turned pretty low. The rooms in the dorm had individual thermostats that were supposed to allow you to control the temperature in your own room, but of course, a crappy dorm that was 70 years old was not very good at actually doing that. It's pretty much always sweltering in our room. I usually slept with a small fan on and my roommates would often open the window to cool off the room in the nighttime, so to tell you my room was warm is an understatement. It was always hot in there, and that's why I knew the cold air I felt wasn't normal. As Vance and I were conversing about his paper, I felt a cold rush of air go down my back. I faced away from the door and thought maybe my roommate had walked in or the door shut. I turned around and there was no one there. The door was still open. I got off the bed to look down the hall. I didn't see anyone in either direction. I laughed it off when Vance asked me what was wrong and told him I just got a shiver down my spine. We continued talking about the paper for about 10 more minutes, and Vance's entire demeanor changed. He started getting irritated at my edits and suggestions. He started telling me I was wrong and that my edits were stupid. He finally slammed his laptop shut and told me to go to hell, that we would fix the damn paper, or that he would fix the damn paper on his own. Very put off by the sudden outburst of anger towards me. In all the time I knew him, he'd never used foul language towards me and had never screamed at me for certain. Vance got up and slammed the door shut before I could get to it. I was still in my bed. He positioned himself between me and the only door to the room. My stomach immediately sank and I felt like puking. He threw his laptop across the room into the wall by my roommate's bed, and it shattered onto the floor next to her mini fridge. He started laughing maniacally, and I screamed for help. If you've ever lived in a dorm, especially an older one, you know the walls can be especially thin and easy to hear through. But no one came. No one knocked on the door trying to get in. Nothing. I ran to the window to open the blinds and try to signal for help. Hopefully, someone from the street would see me and come to check or call for help. He beat me to it. He grabbed my wrist and pulled me to the floor. I was very fearful of what might have happened next, but luckily, my roommate's friend came through the door. She had come in search of my roommate to go to a party together. When she came through the door, it's like a switch flipped in Vance, and he immediately let go of my arm and stepped away from me. My roommate's friend was startled and asked what was going on. Vance muttered nothing and quickly left the room without grabbing the pieces of his laptop or saying anything else. I was in shock and told my roommate's friend that nothing had happened. I'd just fallen. She left after I told her my roommate was already at the party, and I cleaned up the broken laptop and threw it in the garbage chute. I did tell my roommate the next day about the attack, and she was thoroughly freaked out by the fact that something invisible could have that effect on living people. We both proceeded with caution, and we invited people into that room after that. 2 weeks after the event, we went home for Christmas. Vance didn't return to school the next semester. I asked his roommate what had happened, and he said that he had dropped out of school due to personal reasons. I probably never know what was haunting my dorm room during my freshman year. But whatever it was a powerful spirit that didn't like having roommates. Most people have the bad freshman roommate experience, let me tell you that a paranormal roommate can be much worse. It only escalated in the spring semester. I'll write in those stories sometime in the future. For now, stay spooky out there and be safe.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.